I was going to go easy on you, not to hurt your feelings.
You f***ing irritate the shit out of me!
I'm only going to get this one chance. It's just a feeling I've got. Like something's about to happen, but I don't know what.
All I hear, go get the money. So I go get it. Hate means I do something right. So I'm a
Hey, what's going on, peeps? What's going on? Welcome to Gap Sell Keenan 73. Every time I say the next number, blows my mind. 73 of these bad boys. For those of you who are new, Gap Sell Keenan is a real live sales call. This is not made up. This is not scripted. This is not, you know, I don't even know what the word is. Is a role play. No, this is a real live sales call with a real live salesperson who believes, for whatever reason, they have a product or service that ASG needs or that I need, and they're here to sell me on that product or service. So you get to watch. You get to see what happens. And if they can find a problem I have, we will buy. If they cannot, they are going to get coached by me so they don't make these mistakes with their next buyer. So today we have John with Daily AI, and it's his turn to give it a shot. So John, my man, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. Welcome to Gap Sell Keenan. How you feeling, baby?
Feeling good.
You feel you're ready? You feel you're going to... You're going to do well? You're going to do better than most people?
Yeah. Worst case scenario, I learn, right?
You know what? I like the attitude, baby. I like the attitude. I had coffee today, so I don't know if that's good or bad for you because I don't drink coffee very often. So, you know, I'm a little fired up, ready to go.
All right.
Well, all right, so the floor is yours, but I have one question. I've never done this before, but I really got to know. I got to know. Before you start, why did you think ASG or I don't know who it's for, ASG needed this product or would be a could need this product?
Because I went through the sign up process on that initial kind of online training thing. Mm-hmm. I believe that's where you sign up for your newsletter. That's the only
places. Yep.
And I never saw it.
Okay, so, that's a good freaking answer. So with that, the floor is yours. 15 minutes to figure out if I have a problem you can solve.
All right. So first question, is that your only newsletter? Do you have other newsletters? How many do you have? What do they look like right now?
I have one newsletter.
One newsletter.
Out every week, I think on Sunday.
Okay. Is the main intent to get people to sign up for the online class, or do you have other intentions through the newsletter?
Great question. The primary intent is to say build a community is not a good word because not a lot of bilateral conversation. Although, hey, I'll tell you what, that might be an interesting business, right? An interactive newsletter. So everybody's on the newsletter can actually engage with the newsletter on the newsletter. That's kind of funky. I like that idea. But anyways, I digress. So it's primarily to build a community, if you will. So the newsletter can consist of content that we think will be valuable to our subscribers. Primarily content that's valuable to subscribers. So it's like learning, a lot of learning material, but then also a notification platform to let people know what events are coming up, what we've got going on, et cetera. So it's sort of like a billboard / learning portal. You know what I'm saying? So those two main focuses.
Yeah. So when I noticed I didn't receive it, I searched. Turns out it was showing up in my promotions inbox. Do you have any visibility to kind of where things are being delivered, how they're being delivered?
I don't. Sean, if you're listening and you do know this, Sean is on the marketing team. Sean, if you do know if we have visibility to where it's being delivered, that would be great to know. But I'm going to say no from here.
Okay. How about success rates? You know, are you tracking click-through rates, open rates, any of that?
Yes. Tracking all of that.
What does that look like?
Okay. You're going to have to go find it because I don't have that off the top of my head. So bear with me. Bear with me. I'm going to bear all on this one. Oh, wait, where the fuck is it? Oh, okay, this is the last one was sent. Oh, wait. We can do better than this. Hold on. I know we have a more recent one. If not, I'll go with an older one.
Older ones can be better because they've healed, right? The newest one, you know, people might not have seen yet. So Older
no,
ones.
No, when I say older, I mean like last year.
Oh, okay. Well, that one's fully healed. So.
Okay, I got one from January 5th. Fucking, I'm not going to put the person's name. They don't do what I tell them to do. It pisses me off. Okay. Okay, no visibility to where newsletters are ending up. Why can't I fucking see this? What the fuck is going on? Sorry, people. Okay, that one just is blank. Let's try the next one. Bear with me. I'm going to get here because I want this to be a good one for you. What the frick? None of it seems to be. Come on, Google Sheets. Work for me. Work, work. Ah, okay. We got it. That's a lot of fucking lot of data. Okay. I got it in front of me. Let's see what do you want to know, Slick?
Open rates.
If I'm doing this right, for January, 31.3%. I'm assuming this is percentage.
All right. How about click-through rates? Do you know?
3.1%.
3.1. All right. Do you know, is that on a specific thing like a call to action or is that just in general?
It's going to be in general.
Okay. Okay. So open rate, that's pretty cool, right? 31%, we'll say about.
Yep.
You know, in general, you know, obviously these numbers are kind of rounded off, but 45% of the people who are opening their email on a daily basis are actually opening their promotion tab. So if you're getting 31%, I'm anecdotal, so you might not always be hitting the promotion tab, but if you're hitting promotion tab and getting 31%, you're more at like a, you know, 60, 70% open rate for people who are actually seeing it. So, you know, what do you do when people show up 45% to sales calls? What kind of action do you take there?
I mean, if I schedule
Yeah, your team has a given month, only 45% of the scheduled calls that
it's
people...
It's never happened. It's never happened.
Right, it'd be unacceptable.
Okay. Yeah, it would be. Never happened. Yeah.
So, you know, deliverability is one thing, but one thing that you said is that's pretty interesting is the community. So you want to build a community. What are the business goals behind building that community?
Increase revenue, obviously, over time. People reach out to us.
What does that mean? Like, what is increased revenue? How much revenue? Like, what are you talking about?
That's a great question. I've never really assigned a dollar amount to the newsletter. So, you know, I think when you think about it, that was a really good question. So when we built the newsletter, the idea is to the extent that newsletter subscriber numbers can grow and they see value in the newsletter on a regular basis, they're connected to us. So whether they're individual contributors or whether they're frontline managers or whether they're enablement, whatever role they have, they're connected to us. We stay front of mind so that if and when they decide they're at a company and need training or they're exploring training, we are top of mind and they come to us and say, hey, we're looking at training. So I've never actually attached a number to that. I don't even know if we can, but the idea is the larger the audience, the more engaged that audience with us, the more we win.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. I know you hate why questions, but I have one. All right. So bear with me for a second here. I watch these calls. You go pretty hard on some people. Some people get close and all of that. But you have 100K sold books behind you. Are you up higher than that now?
Oh, yeah. I don't say all right because I'm afraid of jinxing myself. But excitingly so. In the last three months, we've had three of us, our highest months in book sales ever. And in December or January, we had our second highest book month in the history. And that if you can imagine, was the second month after the book came out. So so that's crazy to think 4 years later.
Yeah.
20, 21, 22, 23, 5 years later. Almost to the day, 5 years later, we matched our biggest month. And we sell, fuck it, I'll share it. We sell on average, it's never really dropped, about 2,100 books a month. We've been doing that for 5 years. Think about that for a second. That's pretty constant. Yeah. And we broke 3,000 last in December.
Nice. Congrats. Yeah. So the why question is, why are so many people hopping on?
I want you to hold that because you're doing a great job, but I want to help someone out who's listening. David Curly Cervone. Yes, I want someone digging around if I have limited time, because if he doesn't dig around and help me understand that I have a problem with my newsletter or newsletter deliverability or whatever it is I'm trying to, my goal is, I'll never buy his product. So absolutely, Dave, if you're watching this to learn, you absolutely want your salesperson digging around as long as the questions are relevant and make you believe by answering these questions, they're going to be able to provide a better service, a better product, or better recommendation. If you don't feel that those questions are getting there, you're fucked. So yes, I want them to. Keep going, John. You're doing a good job.
All right. So the why question, why are so many people showing up to these calls, having read the book and not getting it?
Okay. That's not a bad why question, dog. That's literally because there's no way in a million years you could know that. I hate why questions that you should, as an expert, have some understanding of, right? So, so like going back to the doctor scenario, you know, rather than saying, hey, tell me about the stomach pains, says, well, why do you think you're getting them? You should know. You're the doctor asking me to self-diagnose when you're the expert. It's pathetic, right? Yeah. But, you know, if someone says, oh, I'm drinking water out of the stream in my backyard, that's, doctors ever said, why are you drinking the stream out of your backyard, right? Don't you have running water? Like, do you see the difference in that type of question, John?
Yeah, definitely.
Completely different. I like why questions when you shouldn't have any idea why it should exist.
Okay.
So why are so many people coming on the show and fucking it up? Truth be known, two. One is lack of humility and hubris. So they lack humility and have too much hubris. They think they understand gap selling, and they have this sense of hubris that I got this nailed. And the second one is the underpinning. Gap selling is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard because people think that it's very similar to spin. They think it's very similar to SAM. They think this. But when you actually get in at the execution layer and the nuances of it, it's nothing like those, right?
Yeah.
So that's why they mess up. They just don't truly understand. And it's hard. So even if they did have all the training in the world, it's going to take time to get better at.
All right. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, one thing I like about your book is you mentioned all these kind of stories, you know, the football thing. And then you yourself, you've gone through some journeys, right? You did, you know, you went to Boulder, I think. You went to, you did some skiing. You, I'll go Dion, right? And you did the skiing thing, the skiing training. So you have all these other inspirations that led you to realizing gap selling, then sharing gap selling. What of your content is helping people realize their need for humility and their need to tone down their hubris?
None. I mean, that's a good call. I might, using that, I'll probably create a video here in the next couple of days talking about hubris. I did one the other day that talked about people with an overinflated sense of self. So I think those are some fun videos I can use for Instagram reels and stuff like that. But that's not the target of the newsletter, because that's people coming here, right? Our newsletter is designed more to educate people on how to sell, how to build sales team content that helps people sell better and try to practice it, whether they're doing it right or wrong. At least they're trying and or trying to build their sales org better, right? From an enablement perspective.
I mean, that kind of contradicts the goal of revenue through community, though, because I'm not learning or sticking with gap selling because I read the book. I need further training. I've done further training with you, right? So I need those engagement pieces to realize I need that further training. So I agree with you that stuff should be included. It's really valuable. One of the things I've realized working here is I'm busy. So because I'm busy, I'm on LinkedIn a 20th of the time that I used to be. So I see your content a lot less because I just don't have time to hop on LinkedIn and do it. So I get it now from the newsletter. I've unmarked your promotions tab myself. I guess what goes into the thought process of it just being you there? Like, why can't someone lead to realizing they need more from a video of, like, for me, I'm a basketball player, video of Kobe talking about that Mamba mentality and how that focus gets there.
I guess we could. I mean, now you're talking content, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't write the newsletter, right? So I've said to my team on multiple times, I want creative shit. I want the newsletter to be as creative as possible. Now, I can't stand that statement. Side note, everybody, hope you see value in this. I have a love-hate relationship with creatives. And here's why. If I have to tell you what a creative campaign is, then why did I hire you? Right? If I have to tell my marketing person, go out and create something super creative and unique, and he goes, well, what do you want? And I tell him what that creative thing is. Why do I have you? I have an execution person, not a thinking person. Does that make any sense? So when I look, I designed a pair of pants for my daughter. She's got a ski brand that's really cool. Obviously we have the website. I love creatives, but what drives me crazy with creatives is they want you to tell them what the creative should be. Well, fuck no, I'm not that creative. I'm not that creative. I need you to bring the creative mindset. And here's another example. You got me on a tangent, but I just love this concept of creativity. Is anybody seen the new Nike ads for Caitlin Clark, right? So when she broke the record, Nike had a big, huge banner on the outside of, I believe, the stadium. Huge banner of her shooting a shot, right? Have you seen this? And the way they put the banner up on a corner and the way the parking structure was about 150, 200 yards away, if you stand in the right spot, you can see her shooting. And then they put another banner on the parking structure with a basket and a ball going in it, and it says, not that far. And it looks like she's shooting across the parking lot onto the parking garage. Does that make sense? Are you tracking? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's creativity. I could never have thought of this. If Nike was asking me, what should we do for Caitlin Clark? I'm not going to come up with that shit. Right. So to your point, this is important. I tell my team, I want the most creative newsletter in the world. So if you start asking me why we're not doing the Kobe things or why we're not doing this or why we're not doing that, I can't answer that question for you.
Yeah. So that's interesting. You want the creative to do it. What if the audience was leading the way on what they want? So we're optimizing based off their interactions with that creativity.
Okay. Now you're asking me about a solution, but that seems intriguing to me. I mean, absolutely. That seems intriguing. Assuming that they interact with it. Look, let's be careful here, right? What's his name? Henry Ford said it best. If I asked the people what they want, they'd say a faster horse.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so that's kind of the thing, right? We kind of have this philosophy we follow, three sets of truth. There's what we think the audience wants. There's what they tell us they want. Then there's what they're actually doing.
Okay.
And what are you doing to optimize your newsletter based on what they're actually doing?
Nothing. Okay, that's not true. Sean, once again, chime in if you're doing something to optimize based on what they're doing. But no, nothing.
Okay. So, you know, with this 15 minutes, like, my goal here is to say,
Scott, so you've got some good root causes. Okay.
Yeah.
You did a little more telling than I normally like, but it's relevant. It's germane. You're helping me understand the space. But you really don't have a problem yet. What problem do you think you solve?
I think we solve your conversion problem.
But we haven't established that I have a conversion problem.
You have a 3.1% click-through rate on your newsletter. You have 31.
Okay, wait. That is a fact. That's a physical and literal. You understand, right? That's a physical and literal. Why is that a problem?
Because you want more revenue.
Yeah, but you have not created a correlation between click-through rates and revenue. And I told you that I didn't really, I didn't have a way to track revenue from this because we could be nurturing someone through this for a year and a half. And there's no way that we knew or could know, even unless you're telling me what you think does, that'd be interesting. But there's no way that we believe we could know that because of the nurturing and being part of the newsletter, 18 months later, they came back to buy something that the newsletter played a role in.
Yeah. All right. I think that's fair. So let me restate the problem then. Or I guess I shouldn't restate the problem. I need to get you to realize the problem. So
yes, you're getting better. This is good. Ask questions.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're looking at your newsletter, you're sending this thing out. Mm-hmm. You're hoping for conversion, mm-hmm. but you're not tracking conversion on it. So you're essentially
not tracking conversion. I told you it was a 3.1%.
Yeah, but you're not tying the ultimate goal of the newsletter back to the newsletter.
The ultimate goal of the newsletter back to the
newsletter. To convert to business.
Oh, you're tracking. No, I don't know how we would.
Right. So, you know, how you really don't know how effective it is to get to your all-time goal. How many other things do you do in your business that you have no clue of the effectiveness that you stick with for X amount of time?
I can't think of off the top of my head, but not many things that don't take too much work.
Yeah. How much work is it taking?
I don't know. Sean, how much time does it take you to write a newsletter? We used to use someone else, but we're actually moving on from them. But I don't know. Sean, how much it takes to do the newsletter? I'm going to guess an hour, hour and a half. I'm going to guess a week. No, that was John. I'm guessing.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were waiting for Sean.
Don't wait for Sean. He might not get here fast enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to guess hour and a half a week.
All right. So what I'm hearing is we're sending out a newsletter. We can't tie it back to business. We also don't know what's actually resonating within the newsletter. And we're not gaining insights into what actually draws people in versus what they engage with once they're in. So those are all the problems that I've identified here. And those are all things we can possibly affect. But, you know, I think you have to decide if that's an actual problem or not.
Okay, so I think you're circling the wagon. You're not doing a bad job. I would, Sean just told me it takes him about two-ish hours a week. Okay. So I dig deeper. I'm giving you a hint here. Everybody pay attention. Dig deeper into why I have the newsletter.
Yeah, I mean, can you tell me about the decision process that went into putting the newsletter together in the first place?
Well, I kind of did tell you that, right? I wanted to build a community.
Okay.
Where people can come, stay in touch with us, et cetera. So that's that. So what question do you think you're missing? There's one or two questions I think you could ask that help you get a better understanding of where I am. Because what's kind of missing in this whole thing? What don't you know?
I don't know the revenue it's gaining. But
because I already told you I don't really attach it to revenue because I don't know how. Right. So now if you're telling me that you guys can directly create a correlation between revenue in my newsletter, you got my attention, and then I can show you how to ask those questions to get there. But I don't think you can. So you got to do something else to get me to think, okay, remember, what's the objective of the current state questions? To do what?
To understand the gap.
Okay, that's the ultimate, but the current state by itself, what's the number one objective in gap selling for the current state?
To have a clear picture of what they're doing and why?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's only part of it. Okay, everybody paying attention, here's John's big lesson. The number, and you're going to be mad because you know this, the number one reason, I'm sorry, not the one reason, the number one objective of the gap selling discovery for current state is to identify a problem that the buyer says they must change. I can't stay here anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? What is going on is not acceptable to me, right? That's the number one thing you're trying to accomplish. Do you think you've accomplished that? Do you think I'm sitting here thinking, oh shit, yeah, he's right. I can't keep doing it this way.
No, I think I'm close, but I don't think I'm there.
Okay, so what's another question you might want to ask?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of stumped here. I want to.
Okay. So I mean, go.
I have thoughts on the content because like I am confused personally on why we aren't diving into all of the other motivating factors that would cause someone to do business with you outside of I need to be better at sales.
Okay, so I like that. Those are root causes. Those are good, right? So I like that, but those root causes hasn't driven us to a problem, right? Now, yeah. I got a couple questions in here. This is probably the most interactive one in a while. So Brandon Coutreau asked, how do you measure the value of the newsletter? That's not a bad question, actually. Okay. That's actually, I don't like it exactly. I'd ask it differently. I'm going to show you in a second, but he's on the right track there. Matt Charpentier, I think, or Charpentier, what past sales have come from the newsletter? If you don't know what sales come from the community and how much of the community comes from the newsletter, I don't know. And I said that several times. I don't know what sales come from. I don't think we can track it. Then what's the loss of not creating the community and the impact of not nurturing in the future? I don't think I can measure that. I think it would be bad because I believe that when we see, Brady or Sean, can be honest, that when we see people enter the newsletter, if you will, subscribers, that it can be anywhere from 12 to 18 months that we actually see them call and then ask us for a meeting. So there's that one. Then there's another one. Said, what's your objective with the newsletter? Could you tell me how to measure a good newsletter? Now, Amar is heading in the right direction. What is your objective? And could you tell me how you measure a good newsletter? That was good. And I think that was, I don't think we have enough to get to the problem yet. Yes, you're right, Zach. So the question I would have asked here is very close to Amar's and kind of close to Brandon's. I would have said, okay, Keenan, if you don't know what business you're getting from it, how are you measuring the success of the newsletter?
Yeah. Well, if you don't know what business you're getting from it, how are you measuring the success of the newsletter, Keenan?
Do you see how that question helps? Because yeah. Yes, like you got to know at bare minimum, and that goes for all current state, right? I don't care what you're selling, what problem you're looking for. You want to target in on their measurements of success and get them to talk about that. Even if it's wrong, you still want to get them talking about it. So, right, to me, the biggest measure of success for our newsletter is growth. So is the new subscribers growing, right? And low churn, right?
Yep.
Also, I agree with you, click-through rate. I don't know exactly what that should be. I should have checked. I want it to grow, right? Absolutely, I agree with you. So you should have asked, okay, it's now. Has it been growing? Has it been shrinking, right? So rather than tell me 3 is low, you should tell me, is it growing or shrinking? Or has it been flat, right?
So now, yeah, but that's not always true, right? Because we have a number of people using our product who purposely have a very curated small list, and that list is a purposeful buyer.
Okay, so, hold on though. Now what you just did is you're thinking about your product and your other buyers. I told you to ask me the question.
Okay.
See what you did again? You're thinking about you and you're trying to sell. I gave you advice to ask me what I think. Is it growing? Do you want it to grow? Is it shrinking? Right? You never asked me how many people get the newsletter. How big is your subscription? So if you knew what that was and knew that conversion rate and you knew that I wanted it to grow, you'd have much more information than you have now. And now you're getting me to start thinking, is what I'm doing working or not working?
Okay. Yep.
See what I did? There's a whole, notice every one of those questions is not a selling question as more it is an understanding, diagnosing, evaluating question. Can you see the difference?
Yeah, I got okay? you.
And I'm going to let you ask all those, but here's the last piece. Everybody paying attention, listen to this. He was in sell mode. Now, he did better than most people. He was still in sell mode. How do I get Keenan to say something that I think I can position my product for? And I cannot say this enough to every person selling in the world. When you're in the discovery phase, forget you have a fucking product. Forget it. Just know the problems your product solves and try to get to those and diagnose those and uncover those. So the buyer can start ruminating in their mind if they're being successful in their current environment. So go, my man.
All right. How many people are subscribed to your newsletter right now?
I think we're at 30,000. Sean and Brady, you correct me as I go through it, but I think it's about 30,000. And I'm going to throw you a bone. Oh, yeah. Ask the question. Oh, you might get it. What's the next question?
Yeah. And you want to build a community. How large do you want this community to build to?
Infinite. I'd like to get to 100, then 150, then 200,000. Fuck it. We have a community of one third of how many books we sold. Technically speaking, I should have just the opposite. 2X, right? But I'm going to throw you another bone because you didn't think to ask it. I owe you a lot of bones today, probably the coffee. We only send it out to about 12,000 people.
Okay. What goes into that decision?
Sean, tell me why we only sent it to 10,000 or 12,000. I think it's because, my memory serves me, those other 20,000 haven't read it.
Yeah.
Based on bounces and unsubscribed. So there you go. It's to that tens. We have 30,000 subscribers, but when we send it to all those things, I think we have a high bounce rate, a high unsubscribe rate, something like that. So I think those are our 10,000 most engaged or something like that.
Okay. How fast is it? How fast is it growing right now? Is it growing right now?
Sean, is it growing? And if so, I might know the answer to this. Hold on. Let me look at my little trusty sheet. Average unsubscribe. So the unsubscribe in January was 0.19. Average bounce rate was 0.4. Average of click rate is 1%. I don't know what the difference between click rate and click through rate is. Sorry. I don't know if it's grown. I don't know how many new we have. I don't see that one. But I can tell you, yeah, I can tell you their unsubscribed is just under one person each newsletter. That's not bad. I can like that. And Sean just told me something. Hold on. Way to go.
I don't think I got the growth rate there. You said a few numbers, but
no, I said I don't have the growth rate. That's what I said.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Sean just texted me, I think, somehow. Sean, do we know the growth rate? So I'm going to say it's probably flat because I want to say that 10 to 12 hasn't really changed much.
Okay. How many followers do you have on LinkedIn?
78, 70, 79, 76,000. I don't know. Close to 80,000. I don't know if I broke that market. I haven't looked in a while. 75 to 80.
Okay. So even with the 30,000, we'll say no one subscribes. You're missing 50% of your LinkedIn market, 60% or whatever the math
is. That's a fair statement. Yeah. That's a fair statement. Ooh, Min's watching. Min just sent me something. All these people sending me stuff to make sure I'm doing it. Okay. No, he didn't have an answer. Okay. That's a valid point. So yes. So my subscriber thing on LinkedIn is at least 2X.
Okay. So you're looking at, we'll say 150,000. You're looking at, what's that? 20% of your books are following your newsletter. 40% of your 40% of your LinkedIn following is following your newsletter. And would you agree with my statement that, the busier people on LinkedIn less, or you think that's anecdotal to me?
No, I don't know. I mean, you got my attention though. I never looked at it like that. Why is the newsletter so much smaller than, or subscriber numbers is so much smaller than our LinkedIn following and the book sales? I mean, that could be a marketing issue. I don't think we put a way for people to sign up to the newsletter directly into the book. We do put other things that you will end up on the newsletter if you download them. So there is some overlap there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But so that's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
And then do you see any direct sales correlated from LinkedIn?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
And the reason I can track that is because they DM us.
Yeah. Do they just buy on LinkedIn, or do you get their email information? Is there's a process they go through before they actually convert into a customer?
Oh, interesting what you did there. You're assuming convert into a customer on the online training.
Yeah, any customer really. I mean, but
follow the logic, John. Follow the logic.
Yeah.
Online training they can buy without our knowledge. You can't buy. See, you got to really think about the questions you ask to maintain credibility. 99% of the people who hit us up on DMs and LinkedIn are looking to buy the training.
Okay. Okay. Right?
So you can't buy our training without us knowing. So again, everybody listening, lesson to John, but all of you, really understand the business model of the people you're selling to. You don't want to give the impression you don't understand the full business model because you lose credibility. To be perfectly, perfectly frank, John, I don't care that much about, I do, but not that much about the online training. Yes, we invest money into getting people there. Yes, we're going to continue to grow it. But our biggest chunk of our business is a sale to a B2B company. You see what I'm saying? That could be in the tens of thousands of dollars. So when so that's what's most valuable to us. Again, the online training is growing and growing and growing, and the less friction we can have and people go out there and buy it, finish it, love it, we never touch it. Obviously, best SaaS platform in the world. But at $400 a person or, you know, $5,000 for a small company, that's never going to drive the percentage of revenue that when we sell a training to a team of 100 people is going to reach. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So just keep that in mind.
All right. Then for the training, for the actual training, you do sales content. Are the decision makers that you deal with always just the sales professionals, or are there other entities, CFOs or CEOs?
Yeah, of course. CROs, CSOs, vice president of sales, head of enablement. Those are the people that buy the training most of the time.
Okay. What content do you have that speaks to them? The non-sales people that are decision makers.
Let me ask you a question. This is great. This is one of the better ones. That's why I'm letting you go longer. Okay. You said you signed up for the newsletter. How long ago did you do that?
Well, December, November.
Okay. You said you found it in your promotion inbox.
Yep.
Okay. You tell me, how much content do we have that targets those people?
Yeah, good point. I didn't see any.
Yeah, okay. So then you should have said that. You should have said, hey, I looked at your last things, right? And this is the content I saw. Everybody, again, this is the difference between the greatest salespeople and the average salespeople, right? And look, we all fucked up. I made this mistake and it pisses me off. And other times I nailed it and I fucking crushed it. If I had been in your shoes and this was a content play, because it feels like this is a content play, as you keep asking these questions, I would have went and I would have written down, hey, in your content over the last 16, whatchamacallits, Keenan, I saw, bye, baby, I love you. Bye. Have fun. I'll call you in a bit. I saw 8 pieces of content that addressed this, 22 pieces of content that did this or targeted these people. I didn't see any content that did this, 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 and this. Can you help me understand? What is the goal? You told me this. I didn't see content here. Why do you think that is? Take my own shit and feed it to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well then, yeah, I didn't see any content directed towards CFOs or even head of marketing, really, or any of those kind of people who might influence your sales leaders that want this training for their team. So what goes into not reaching out to them or not speaking to them when they're key decision makers in your buying process?
That's a great question. That's a fantastic question. Out of fairness, I should probably read my own newsletter more often. So I don't know. So my team is not creating content that targets our ICPs. Then, yeah, we have a problem. No question. No question.
All right. Now, here's the thing, you know, why do you think that they have to create it? Is there content out there that you align with that you would be comfortable showing them that would, you know, show that, hey, I understand your world.
No. Here's why. I'm extremely particular, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah.
I don't trust most people, never mind AI, to curate content for gap selling because it just misses the mark. Now, to your point, if it can do things that augment from an entertainment perspective or a motivational perspective, so that's not, it doesn't really infringe an IP or a unique idea. Yeah, you got my attention. But gap selling, go.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the, you know, it's kind of like you're in the skiing world. How often do you see the Red Bull logo versus Red Bull talking about their drink?
Love the analogy. I agree. And I actually like the idea from a branding perspective to have gap selling attached to what I call ancillary concepts, right? So in Red Bull, what they're doing is they're like, they're trying to attach to the extreme athlete. And by having the extreme athlete everywhere in Red Bull, all these kids who want to be like extreme athletes are thinking Red Bull. Love that concept.
What are your ancillary topics?
Would be motivation, hard work, success, drive. You know what I'm saying? The things that people always talk about in sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So with those things, are there people, sources, anything that you align with that you would be comfortable sharing?
Yeah, I'm sure there are in that regard. So from that ancillary element, adding content that speaks to things that aren't Gap Selling proprietary, right? That aren't part of the Gap Selling IP, which I believe AI could screw up. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I'm not, this is all solution oriented. You're asking me solution oriented questions, but I can live with it. I'm intrigued.
Well, I think that's fair. Those are solution oriented questions, but the goal is to grow this newsletter. The goal is to convert the newsletter.
Yes, 100%. But you got a whole bunch of everybody listen. He's right. The goal is to grow the newsletter. Everybody listen. Why isn't the newsletter growing? And he's got to get me to acknowledge that maybe one of the reasons the newsletter isn't growing is because we don't have some of this ancillary non-gap selling content that gets people connected to or focused around the idea of success, hard work, drive, winning, taking chances, creating your own business. I don't know, like all that ancillary stuff. He hasn't convinced me. I said, that's an interesting idea, but he didn't give me say that's why it's not growing, right? So you got to be able to do that before you start talking about those solutions.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think you're off. I'm going to give you two or three more minutes. And what you did, you're going to earn a chance to talk to Brady and I and tell me what you do, okay? So you've earned that. I'm intrigued. But again, you really haven't convinced me. Let me phrase it. Convince isn't the word. You haven't helped me understand why my newsletter is not growing. That's what you haven't done, right? Because your mind is 50%, 70% in solution, and it's really not in full diagnosing. I think you brought up a couple decent points, but I really think you really don't have me saying, oh, fuck, he's right. Like, that's why the newsletter is not growing. And you right now, you can't say it's not growing because we don't have this other content. You just can't. So you got to figure out a way to get me to at least think that's it or what else it is. Fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would, if we're pausing from the actual sales pitch, I would counter with, I'm not going to close you on this call. The goal is to get that next call, right? That's where we can dive into those things. So that would be my only counter, but I think nonetheless, like, you have a fair point. So
yeah, keep going. Sorry. No.
So with that being said, like, gap selling speaks to a ton of people very, very well. You know, I'm not seeing where you're using your marketing, specifically your newsletter, to show people that they will get gap selling because you get them. And I'm wondering how you are showing that you get them, because I think that will assist in growth. We have to dive in much deeper to figure out if it will. But, you know, if you can show people
do what you did right there, but do it in a question.
Shit. So, okay. So you're showing gap selling and it resonates with a ton of salespeople. What are you doing to help people understand through your newsletter or through other marketing channels that the people who it's not immediately resonating with will get it themselves?
Okay. So I want you to change the word there. This is very important. Okay. Now tell me if I'm wrong. But basically, you're gonna help with content. The majority of what your product does helps with content. Is that a fair statement? Because if not, I'm way off the reservation.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. So you should have asked me. Everybody pay attention. You should not have asked me What am I doing? That's too broad.
Okay.
Focus on your space. Ask the question again. Just change that one word from what are you doing to replace it with what you do.
What? Replace one word to replace with what I do.
It could be a phrase. This would be one word.
So like I would say like, you know.
Let me help you out. This, I'm going to go slow on this.
This is a
theme that I've seen throughout the entire call here. Everybody listen very closely. Pretend you're in John's shoes. You keep asking me, what am I doing? What have you tried? That's too broad. The question should have been, hey, Keenan, Jason Fleckles, well done. The question should have been, Keenan, what type of content are you creating to help people understand that you get them?
All right. Yeah.
That is very specific, dog. Do you see that? Right? How about this one? A step back. You could have even asked this one first. Could you walk me through your content strategy? How are you determining what content you put into it and why? What is the criteria you use to determine what content you put in the newsletter, and what is the hope you get for that content? Is there a process in place for that? Is it deliberate, or is it more of just sort of, this is what we got, this is what we're going to run with today?
Yeah.
Can you see the difference?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Okay. What you're implying, and I'm sure I'll learn this when we meet later, what you're implying is that you are going to bring a much more deliberate, structured content strategy to the table to provide more value to the newsletter. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that is what I'm implying.
Okay, so one of the problems you solve, at least one of the main root causes you solve, is the lack of a clear, identified, well thought out content strategy to maximize the goals of the newsletter. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but I've been on this call for 47 minutes. So I don't know who your boss is. I don't know who runs this company, but those motherfuckers owe me about $5,000 in consulting revenue for helping teach you what they should have taught you. They should have taught you that's the value of what your company brings. And so when you put it like this, John, I want you to think about this. How is this going to change your calls now? How many calls? Oh, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, I mean, I will kind of like, you know, for a second though, I take the, you know, like we talked about before we hopped in, you know, most of these meetings are people coming in with that already, that interest already built. So that is something new for me in this context of, okay, like I've reached out to you. This is unique. I've reached out to you.
Flip it. I'm still going to play with you. Flip it. Okay. Someone comes in and you just said they have an interest already. Everybody, this is filled with everybody pay attention nuggets. I don't care if somebody comes in with interest. The job of discovery is not to create interest. Let me say that again. The job of I'm watching you process, so I'll stop. What do you want to say?
Yeah, so interest might have been the wrong word.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, you know, when I ask the question on what are you doing, the person there already, oftentimes, I agree. I should have asked it better. That I'm agreeing with. But what I'm saying is I could have worded it much better, but I think, you know, with you sitting here with the coaching mind versus someone coming in with a intrigued mind, that question can get answered in the way that I was looking for it to get answered, or in the way that informs me to help decide if I can help them or not.
Okay. So I'm going to give you that. 1000%, but watch what I do here. If that question gets the answer you want, it's only going to get it in those who are most aware of their environment.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And this is what I tell, again, another nugget, everybody pay fucking attention. This is one of the greatest challenges to people getting gap selling. Everybody thinks if I got someone or I can get someone, I'm winning. I don't look at gap selling like I got a hit viewing it this way, right? I got two hits this way. What I look at this is you're right now, I'm going to say this, I'm going to guess, but I'm going to say you're a 300 batter. That's what I'm going to say, John. You did a good job in the beginning. It wasn't awful, but you're a 300 batter, okay? You learn to gap sell, you're going to be a 350, 400 batter. So you change that question from what are you doing to can you walk me through your content strategy? Can you explain to me how you pick out the specific content? Can you help me understand how you map content to the actions you want to take? Can you? And you do that. The ones you would have got anyway, you're still going to get, may even knock those out of the park. And then the other ones you're going to get, you may not have got before. So that's where my coaching is coming from. It's not just binary, you're doing a bad job or a good job. It's helping you understand that you can do a better job. You can open up the conversation. You can find things you never would have found before because now you clearly understand what your business problems you solve. And you're going there as a content person, not as a newsletter person.
Yep.
And that's my head. The 90% of this call was I kept thinking about my newsletter. The minute you got me in the content space, I was more interested. I'm like, this is a good point. I don't know that we do that well. I don't know how we pick the content. I don't know how we test people's ability to interact with it. I don't know any of that. It's a fucking good point. Now I feel like I got a problem because if my team doesn't have a strategy for this, if my team does this shitty, I'm upset. And if you can fix that, we can go somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm a Milwaukee guy. Robin Yount batted 285. So.
It is
what it is, but no, I mean, you're right. It's kind of a catch 22 for me right now. Cause all right, you're intrigued to learn more. I am getting better. So, you know, there's that there, I guess, you know, from this point, where do we go from this call? Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, no, I want to meet. I want to talk. So, you got 52 minutes more than most people got, but I kept interjecting and we had dialogue and people have stayed on. We got a pretty large number of people watching this, one of our biggest ones, it appears. So they liked it. So yes, you earned yourself a second call. I'm absolutely intrigued. So send me an email. Sean and Brady will be on that call because they run marketing. Brady keeps telling me to stay out, which is fair. I just yell back, fucking be more creative, right? So let's do that. Let's see what you can get. So you earned a second meeting. And I think I'd like to think you got some good nuggets out of here.
Definitely. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a huge reason why I wanted to reach out. You've helped me a lot. And one of the funny things I always think about what you say is you want to fix the sales world. I look at it as an opportunity. It's like, well, if the sales world is so messed up, like I can bat 300 and be pretty damn good. So like, if I can learn to bat 400 or like you said, then like, that's like 300's good compared to the rest of the world at the moment. So like, let's like, I keep ingesting the stuff and helping. So that's part of the reason, you know, I was like, all right, I'll go on the public thing. And
but man, that's the right attitude. I mean, Kobe had a problem with that. Kobe hated how people got complacent. You make the NBA and now you feel that's good enough, right? Batters who at 300, they feel, oh, that's good enough. I'm a 300 hitter. I'll make the Hall of Fame. The true athletes, the true, you know, winners, the top of the heap, they're never satisfied. If I'm 300, then why can't I be 315? If I'm 315, why can't I be 320? If I'm 320, what, right? They're never satisfied. And this is my greatest frustration with salespeople, but people in the world, right? You're all fucking too complacent. You're just too complacent. You get to good enough for me. Good enough. And then you wonder why when opportunities come along, you're like, damn, I missed it. And I have to catch myself. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm on some high horse. I catch myself all the time being complacent. And I'm kind of a spurt worker. And you'll know it. If all of a sudden I got my head down and I'm pounding away, that means I was like, ooh, I was getting complacent. Get your shit together. Okay? So with that, I'll give you a meeting. I'm going to wrap it up. But the last thing I'm going to say, if I was in your shoes, I would not have never split the difference. I would put gap selling right there.
I couldn't cater to you that much. It's here.
I see it.
It's here.
But I would have kissed the shit out of my ass.
I'll tell you what. When you buy like Chris bought, then you can. I'll put your book up there.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, listen, man. This was helpful. Thank you very much. And reach out to me or Brady, whatever. And we'll see where this goes.
All right. We'll do. Thanks, Keenan.
All right, dog. You got it.
All right.
All right, everybody. That was a good one. How's it going? I hope you guys found value. A lot of you are listening. Thank you very much. So for those of you who came in after this started, you just witnessed a live sales call. John is a real salesperson with daily.ai. They provide, it appears, content creation and content curation to improve the value of your newsletter. So I'm excited to learn more about it. But he had a real product and he really wants us to buy. So if in our next call, we can find value and he can help establish a gap and expand on the problem, we're going to buy. Because if you can help me and get me where I want to go, I got time for you. So, yes, Lori DeWitt, you miss these so much. I know I miss them too. If you want to be on Gap Sell Keenan, DM me directly. I will get you set and we'll have you come on. And for the rest of you, you can watch all of these. They're all there on YouTube. So go to our YouTube channel. You can watch every single one, all 73. I hope everybody got some value out of this. And until next time, you know what I'm going to say. Peace. I'm out. And oh, yeah, we're going to give you a free access to Gap Selling Online Training. I think you already took it, but if you didn't, we're going to give it free to you anyways. All right, with that, everybody get mad love. Until next time. Peace. I'm out. All I hear, go get the money. So I go get it. Hate means I do something.